one person who puts principles ahead of party is Senator Tim Sheldon. Senator Tim Sheldon is a Democrat, but he often votes with Republicans because he's a small business owner and has been a supporter of small business in his moderate to conservative district there, the 35th in Hoodsport, Mason County. Good to have you with us this morning, Senator Sheldon. How are you?
Thanks, John. Great to be with you. I can't agree with you more. It's just sad that a party can just put party above people, and it's sad, really.
And I know I've come to the conclusion
with, national level and the state level.
If I had put out yesterday, I think we should restrict travel from some of these European countries that where the outbreak is really bad and they don't appear to have a handle on it. There would be some back and forth. But if I say, I think we should support Donald Trump's travel ban on European countries because they don't seem to have a handle on it. It's, no, we should. No, what a crazy overreaction. In other words, the minute that you, when you're talking ideas and differences, you're having a conversation. The minute you drop his name, emotion floods over everything else.
Well, I've never seen anything like it, John. It really is counterproductive. It's not helping our country, not helping our state. And it's sad to see. And I think the voters will realize that. The people that are out there, especially in my district, I think realize that. They're not partisan. They want to get see results from Olympia and all our elected officials. But they're not vitriolic. And
right.
They have opinions, sure. But we have to do things that are the best for everyone.
Right.
And,
they don't care.
I'm sorry we've lost that now.
Right. I mean, your
politics
district has always been characterized by people who say, results, please.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll watch what you
Absolutely.
Do, not what you say. Yeah, so that's good for you. And again, I've been very complimentary of what Jay Inslee's press conference. I think he sounded the right notes, things that need to happen here in King Pierce, mm-hmm. Snohomish counties. And I'm very complimentary of President Trump's speech last night as well. Thought he did a good job.
Sure. Well, John, I was a county commissioner for 12 years. And also in these small counties, we also are the health board, the three county commissioners. And we have a tremendous staff here in Mason County. King County, I watched an individual last night talk about public health, how if you don't see us and you don't hear from us, everything is doing well. And they're on board, and they're trying just as hard as they can. And we've had outbreaks before with different viruses, but we've always come back and worked through it. So I'm confident we will this time, too.
So, all right. So with that said, session ends today.
Yes.
And what time is sine die?
It could be as late as midnight.
Oh, boy. Okay.
We cannot stop the clock anymore as legislatures used to do years and years ago, so put a blanket over the clock and keep going after 12. No, we can't do that unless the governor called a special session that could start at 12:01 a.m. I've seen that happen before, but I think what I see in the Senate anyway is a desire to finish on time. We still have the operating budget, the transportation budget, and the
Capital budget. Are you with us, Tim? I think he was saying the transportation budget and the capital budget. Did you say that, Tim? We lost you briefly.
Yes. Sorry. All three budgets, the mm-hmm. operating, capital, and transportation, are on the bar, as they say. They're in conference committee reports, so there won't be any amendments to them when they come to the floor. So it should go quickly today. And there's a couple other bills, facial recognition and some other things that are still in doubt. But once those big budgets pass, we're out of there. Those things fall off the table. I anticipate an ending today.
Okay, with that said, what are the major issues still in the air and where do you see them going? I want to start with
sure.
the attempt by the House to they tried to do what's called the low carbon fuel standard, which would have vastly increase the price of a gallon of gasoline in the name of fighting climate change. That bill didn't make it. So the House instantly put together another bill that said, well, the authority for this lower carbon fuel standard now would rest with an unelected bureaucracy, the Department of Ecology. And if they want to impose this burden, which will raise your gas prices, they're going to have that authority. Is that bill still alive?
That bill is still alive. I do not think it'll pass, although it's going to come down to one or two people. I don't think there's the votes in the Senate Democratic caucus for it. So they need some votes on the Republican side, and I don't think they'll give them any. That bill is, when you look at the clean air standards and the attempt before to call it low carbon fuel standards, that's opposed by 72% of the people in my district. And I have to just compliment the loggers and the Farm Bureau for coming to Olympia, to the Transportation Committee, where that bill was pending in the Senate. And what a show of support they had. I'm telling you, John, they were respectful. Some people, Barry Swanson came with something like 32 trucks from Forks.
So that was huge. That was the best visual of the entire session, where those trucks lined up in the Capitol.
They left early in the morning, and many of them brought their kids. And their kids sat there the whole day listening, and so respectful. And when they got a chance to speak, only for a minute, they summarized and put it, it just really laid it out for the senators. And that bill died in committee. Now, this is an end around. You know, it's a Hail Mary end around play at the end to give the Department of Ecology unbelievable authority. And I'm scared of that. You know, we have a new director of ecology that the governor has appointed. She was the chief litigator in the case that basically has turned down some of the state's authority to impose these rules on business.
So she was on the losing side of the lawsuit. Hold on. She was on the losing side of the lawsuit where the state Supreme Court said, you can't just impose this authority. You haven't been given that authority by the legislature.
Correct. And now we would give her the authority to impose it? Come on. It's bizarre. Bizarre. But I think that we'll hold strong. I know the Republicans will. And we'll see what Democrats might bend to it. I'm certainly not going to. You know, people say, oh, Sheldon, you're not a Democrat. You caucus with the Republicans. Well, if you're elected 11 times to the legislature as a Democrat, right, D, right by your name in your district, I think you're a Democrat. I believe I am. But I'm just not going to go over the cliff. And, you know, this poll, survey I've done with my constituents, they are very different here in outside of the central Puget Sound area. We don't have people with great six-figure incomes. We're struggling to put food on the table, and it shows in their responses. But our state is changing. You know, when you think of 600,000-700,000 new people in King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties, wow, that's a bunch.
So to wrap up on this then, Senator Sheldon, it sounds like this bill is still live to make this House bill happen, which I think would be a scandal.
Yes.
Happen. Okay, that is.
But I think the momentum is slowing for some of these more radical events, because, as you know, you've been talking about it. There's an issue, a public health issue, and I think that is more important than trying to launch Washington into the forefront with California and Oregon.
Can you
live in the Northwest, not the West Coast. We live in the Northwest. We're different. And I keep trying to make that point to other legislators.
Great, great point. Can you stay with us for just a minute? I want to ask you about a couple other things.
Sure.
Excellent. State Senator Tim Sheldon, the last day of the legislative session, joining us. I'm going to ask Senator Sheldon in a minute. That uber controversial sex ed bill that the governor has not yet signed. If he does sign it, will this result in a referendum? We're hearing more and more. Yes, count on it. It's going to happen. He'll give us his inside view right after this. You know, our friends at Lumber Market have been taking care of KVI listeners for over 95 years, and now they've combined forces with Marine Lumber to be Marine Lumber Market, your one-stop shop for all your lumber needs, 5 acres of the highest quality inventory, everything you need, whether it's one board, a whole house, or a huge commercial project, you can find at Marine Lumber Market. You'll be helped quickly and expertly, and you don't have to load all your own material. The Marine Lumber Market folks are the most knowledgeable and friendliest and helpful staff in the industry. Of course, they make deliveries usually within a day or two throughout KVI country. Marine Lumber Market is your resource for all your lumber needs. Located just south of the First Avenue South Bridge in Seattle's South Park neighborhood. Give them a call, 425-251-8010. That's 425-251-8010.
Hey, it's Kent Phillips. I work in radio and TV here in Seattle, but I'm hearing commercials for this place called Semiahmoo Shore. It's 2 hours north of Seattle. So my wife Kelly and I took a one-day drive to see if Semiahmoo Shore was as special as it sounded. Well, that was a few months ago. Not only were we impressed, we were thrilled. We now call Semiahmoo Shore our new vacation home. It's our refuge, a place to really just unwind. That's right. We purchased a new sunrise home, overlooks Drayton Harbor. And now we're the folks walking the miles of beaches, enjoying inland Pacific sunrises, and getting to know new friends on the weekends. In fact, we had a party last weekend. It's a great neighborhood. Plus, if you're into boating, like I am, the marina's just steps away from Semiahmoo Shore. And life moves just a little bit slower. While nature surrounds you, it's the perfect place to get away. If you like food like I do, Vancouver, B.C., just minutes away. Don't take my word for it. Check it out online at semiahmooshore.com. Or better yet, do what we did. Go visit their model homes any day from noon to 5 and see if it's your place as well to just get away. Semiahmoo Shore, listed and marketed by Mike Kent of Windermere Real Estate.
You know, a lot of words come to mind when you think of Northwest Safe. Security, service, and value. But for me, the most important word is family. Hi, it's Kirby with David Jr. for Northwest Safe. David, Liberty Safes are about more than just protecting guns.
That's right, Kirby. Liberty Safes are perfect for safeguarding your family's most critical information. Birth certificates, passports, family heirlooms, and photos. Liberty Safes keep them secure from fire and theft and keep firearms out of the wrong hands.
And of course, every family's needs are different, and Northwest Safe has options for everyone.
No matter what your budget, we can help you find the best safe for your needs. We have hundreds of safes on display, experts to help you choose the right safe, and the best in-home delivery. Let my family help protect yours with an American-made Liberty Safe.
Thanks, David. Now, for the best in protection for your family, think Northwest Safe. See them online at nwsafe.com. That's nwsafe.com.
What is the best age to look into long-term care insurance? This is another great question from one of our listeners. Hi, I'm Brian Ott with 525 Advisors and host of Long-Term Care Radio. We have plans that will help people up to age 85, but here's what you need to know. It's not your age that allows you to get long-term care insurance. It's your health. So the best time to look into getting a plan is when you're healthy and you can still qualify. If you have a question for us, send it to me at 525longtermcare.com. You can also learn about new programs that will pay you back if you never use your plan. And you can sign up for one of our 3 upcoming classes. And don't forget to join us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at noon on KVI for Long-Term Care Radio. Learn more at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Attend the next free long-term care planning classes in Bellevue, Friday, March 20th and Saturday, March 21st. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
KVI Seattle.
Take it from Tom Turner. If your diesel pickup truck struggles where it used to run free, you need Plateau Diesel Performance in Enumclaw. 844-6-DIESEL, plateaudiesel.com.
Green this, tax that. Just hand over your wallet. We don't think so. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Here we we are, ladies and gentlemen, 855 Talk Radio 570 KVI Seattle, joined by my guest, State Senator Tim Sheldon. It's the last day of session. There are several key issues still to be resolved. Let's go over them one by one, starting with that controversial sex ed bill that passed. Tim Sheldon, why did every Democrat vote for something that is so controversial for so many reasons?
Well, John, I think it became a very partisan issue. Senate Bill 5395, it was absolutely voted on out of the House and Senate on party lines. Again, I voted no on it. I've never seen a larger group yesterday that was put together quicker, just in 3 days, completely filled the Capitol steps. I mean, these were passionate people that came from all over Washington and it tells you what social media can do. The word was out. These people are absolutely passionate about this, and I can agree with them. Parents' rights are being trampled. I have a young granddaughter who's at preschool. She'll be in kindergarten next year. This hits home. Hits home with a lot of grandparents and a lot of parents, and I think there will be an initiative put forth, a referendum on this bill, which takes less signatures, as you know. If the governor signs it, that will start very, very soon. And I think the signatures will be gathered easily by those passionate people.
Well, and I've heard that this might actually have official party support from the Republicans, which normally initiatives don't. And I don't mean like an endorsement at a board meeting. I mean some dollars and some people and some staff be part of this.
Right. It would be a referendum, and of course that's somewhat easier to gather signatures as to the requirement of the number.
So maybe the sex ed bill will meet the same fate as Initiative 1000 when they tried to push through racial quotas. The people just rose up and said, no, strike it down.
And it will drive turnout as well. People are passionate, very passionate about this issue.
Speaking of passionate about an issue, clear majorities in 33 counties voted for $30 license tabs. It has been ruled, most of it's been upheld as constitutional, but it's still snagged in court while awaiting state Supreme Court review. So the legislature could have done what you might remember as a young legislator yourself 20-plus years ago. Gary Locke, even though he opposed $30 license tabs, called a special session to make it law.
1999.
But that's not happening this time. The governor shows zero enthusiasm about it. Neither do the Democrats. There was a bill that would have had at least some symbolic $30 license tab relief. Now it looks like they're not even going to go that far.
No, there won't be any refunds right now. There won't be any $30 car tabs through the legislature. If the court upholds it, and that might not happen until November or December, but if the Supreme Court upholds the initiative, there will be refunds. And that's made clear in the transportation budget we're about to pass today. So that's a win. I think the legislature agrees that if the courts rule the $30 car tabs is valid by initiative, then people that paid this year should get their money back. They should get a reduction.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, but I don't know what their alternative would have been. If the court upheld it, then there would have been liability. Yeah.
Well, they're putting the money aside. They say, the state says, they're putting the money aside in a quote-unquote lockbox.
So okay.
We're not spending it.
We'll see. Okay. Also, this is, by my reckoning, a 21% spending increase over the last budget. Inflation's gone up, I believe, during that time, less than 4%. The population's gone up about 4 or 5%. But the spending, even after a healthy increase in the last budget, would go up 21%. I believe that is a record.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, John, there's so many new people they don't recall when we would go back, maybe even the Gregoire years, don't have to go that far back, where you'd come back with a $6 billion deficit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing. But the amount of increase here, the bow wave that's being created by these new agencies, like an equity agency that focuses on equity, or an agency that focuses on gun safety, these build the budget and way into the future. They'll increase it in the future as well. So as we vote on the budget, I think you'll see a pretty overwhelming, not overwhelming, obviously, if they won't have the votes, but there will be a lot of no's. A lot of people realize this. And
now the equity,
are more fiscally conservative.
Equity Commission was part of Initiative 1000. It was kind of snuck in there. It was not the most controversial part, but people said, you know, that's just pure mischief waiting to happen. Basically, a commission that's a government race lobby.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that, Bill?
Well, I think it comes from the Democrats that are steeped in this whole idea of social justice. We always have to look at social justice now. Who's being left out and who's being discriminated against? And I think in 2020, here we are. I think people are very sensitive to race. They're very sensitive to other people, and this is not Jim Crow era. This is not the 40s and 50s in Washington.
I should point out your own wife is very much a liberal and very much committed to justice, but I'm guessing she probably thinks this is overkill as well.
Well, I've been reading a student of history, and an excellent book to read is Across the Aisles, and that's a plural, Across the Aisles. Sid Snyder's book is Democratic Majority Leader back in the early 2000s. Here's a guy that worked with both sides of the aisle. Very, very important to him to see a good economy in the rural areas of the state, not just the urban area. That is what's, I think, hurting our state. We're ignoring most of the state geographically and centered our legislation and our efforts on a very small part of the Puget Sound area, which has got the votes right now.
So let me ask you, they named a building after Sid Snyder. He's a revered figure. Are there any Sid Snyder? Are there any Sid Snyder Democrats left in the legislature? I mean, you're a conservative Democrat, but other than yourself, are there any authentic Sid Snyder Democrats left?
Well, I don't think so. If you think that this sex ed bill was absolutely a partisan vote. Snyder-like are some of the Democrats' rural opposition to Second Amendment violations.
Is the magazine bill
there? The Second Amendment. There's some that will help there. There's some that will help with this clean air issue that I mentioned before. Okay. But still, you have, and I've been in that Democratic caucus, you have a lot of pressure from the rest of the members, and then always the threat that they're going to put somebody up against you in the next election.
In the next primary. That's what AOC is doing in Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Vote left or we'll run from your left against you in the primary. So let me ask about the gun magazine bill. What's its status?
Yes. I think that one's not coming up.
Okay. Let's go to the Boeing bill.
There's a vote.
Boeing is relinquishing its huge tax break because they stand to lose more.
And the WTO,
WTO.
Right.
So what's the status of that bill?
We passed it overwhelmingly in the Senate day before yesterday. It's over in the House. I anticipate it'll come out today. Hopefully labor doesn't jump on it and try to get too much out of it. There's promises they want for more and more apprenticeships. I don't disagree with apprenticeships, certainly, but the average wage there at Boeing is about $108,000. I mean, what a tremendous company. We are trying, I personally am trying to help Boeing because of their economic clout and what they do for this state. There are very few states that have a private sector company as the largest employer. Most other states have universities government hospitals as the private sector employer. So it's something we can't lose.
We can't lose Boeing. Right. No, you're absolutely right. Tim Sheldon from the 35th District, conservative Democrat. Great having you with us here on The Commute with Carlson. I really appreciate you taking the time, Tim.
Anytime, John. Thank you.
You got it. It's one of the real stars, one of the really most valuable people we've got there in Olympia, in Tim Sheldon.